Hello, I'm Jeremy Kay, and I'm a father of two young children at Westside Waldorf School in Pacific Palisades, Southern California. Today is December the 5th, 2018, and I'm delighted to be joined by Belinda James, who is the grade 5 teacher at Westside Waldorf Macomb campus, and will talk to us a little bit about the school and her introduction to it. So Belinda, set the scene for us, please. Where were you in life when you decided to become a Waldorf teacher?
Oh, thank you for asking me to participate. So when I met with Waldorf Education, I was at home. I had a little home school for my son because I wanted to be able to stay home with him. And at the time, I couldn't really afford to stay home and not work. So I combined the two, and I got a few children to join me from the local neighborhood. And I didn't really know anything about Waldorf Education, actually, but my neighbor who lived opposite, her name was Jane Elliott, and she was the chair of the board of the Westside Waldorf School. And she had watched me with my little family daycare for a couple of years and then basically knocked on the door and said, we'd like to invite you to come and work at the school. And she said that, you know, my child was a Waldorf child and I was a Waldorf teacher, and I didn't really know what that meant. But the word intrigued me, because it sounded quite an important title to be a Waldorf something. But what she particularly liked was some of the things that I had created as part of my, design or program. And that was where I was taking off the children's shoes before they came into the house. I had a very sort of homely type environment for the children while they were learning at the same time. I invited the local neighbors to come in and share their talents, such as music and dance, and I think there was one that came and did sewing with us. So it was really lovely, and so I think Jane saw that and realized that inviting me to the school, I would feel at home. And they would feel at home having me. So I visited the school and saw a kindergarten and realised that it's exactly what it was. It was very homely and very familiar, even though we'd never met.
Yes. And you've touched on the next question, which is, how had you heard about Waldorf? But perhaps just tell us which sites you've taught at.
Okay, so yes, I was invited by Jane Elliott, who had started a school in New York and was very connected to the main school, Sunbridge School in New York. So I ended up coming through Jane Elliott, who had moved to California and lived in California. So I joined the school when it was just about to move to Fall Street. And I worked with someone called Kim McCarty. And I've also been teaching at the Macomb site for 4 years. So in all, I've been connected to the school for around 23 years. All the people that are in the school now, with the exception of Armando, were not here. So he's the only one I kind of recognize. There were one or two teachers that came to 4th Street while I was there, after I joined, many years afterwards. And they were people like Miss Nelly and a couple of kindergarten teachers. But pretty much everyone who's here now wasn't.
Thanks, Belinda. So now briefly, just tell us some of the fundamental tenets outlined by the Austrian philosopher Rudolf Steiner that form the backbone of Waldorf education.
So the basis of Steiner's education, in England it's called Steiner and in America it's called Waldorf. Not really sure why. I think it has something to do with the overriding bodies, for instance the Fellowship or ASNA. But the basic philosophy was to create a pedagogy that strove to help the children develop their creative and artistic talents and practical talents through the education, sort of an integrated, holistic education that really addressed the whole child and the whole of child development. And in this way, the children are then not being necessarily assessed on their memorization of what's been given to them, but really on how they perceive the education and how they interact with the education and how the education is gripped by their senses, which is how we really gain true knowledge of an experience or a situation. The good thing about Steiner education is the teachers are the individual teacher in the grade school stays with the child throughout their 8-year journey in the elementary school. And that gives us an opportunity, the teachers, an opportunity to be able to connect with the child on a much deeper level. We are grown with the child, and when you're grown with a child over 8 years, you get to know an awful lot about them. But what is equally supportive is that the child gets to know who stands before them and delivers the education. They understand who that human being is, and the striving and the work that human being has to do to be able to teach them. And so there is a connection, and that connection then fosters interest, and it's through that interest that both teacher and child learn together.
That's fascinating, thank you. And now my next question is, what does a Waldorf education provide children, would you say, that they can't get elsewhere in other schools?
One of the things that Rudolf Steiner, when he opened the first school in Stuttgart in 1919, one of the things he wanted to do was he wanted to offer a place where, or an education system where the children would learn how to look out into the world, whether it be through the subject or whether it be through the social realm, or whether it be through the practical realm. And at that time, this was in the time of war, and Steiner education had been underground for a certain amount of time. And so also, I think I want to push ahead and say that he wanted to create an education where children would emerge with another way of thinking. And so the idea of war would appear foreign to them. So how he does that is he breaks up, I guess, the philosophy looks at education in a way that it breaks up the developmental stages of the children, of childhood. And so there are three sort of 7-year stages. And also Steiner, I mean, quite often we call this the art of education, but I, over the years, have come to realize it's more to do with the science of education. Because Steiner worked out that in the younger years, those developmental movements are necessary for brain development. And that in so that's from 0 to 7. And then from 0 to 7, I mean from 7 to 14, then the body is, or the child is really working with their emotional or feeling or creative life. So they need to see the world as something beautiful. And so that they can develop a healthy feeling life. When we oppressed children to see the hard and kind of ugly side of life, they kind of shut down. And what Steiner wanted us to do was to open the children and pour in concepts that they could manage within their own being. And that's not to say that they're going to see only butterflies and flowers. That's not what I'm talking about at all. It's that they can see the beauty within whatever it is that they're looking at. So even if it was something dead and decaying, there is something beautiful about that process. And so that motivates their feeling life to then go out and do good into the world. And then the last phase, which is from 14 to 21, is a time when the child is taken in, they have perfected the movement that has supported the brain development. They have taken in as much as they can into their feeling life, that they'll be able to internalize those pictures into abstract thinking, abstract thought. Yeah.
Yes.
I think I'm going to leave it at that.
Yes. And then I was going to ask you, what does the Waldorf system allow you, the teacher, to do that you might not get the opportunity to do in other schools? Do you feel that that's something you can speak to now?
Yeah. I think I kind of spoke to it just now.
Yes.
But the other part, and I spoke to it earlier, where it allows the teacher to basically do, even though there's a skeleton curriculum or a standard curriculum, it allows the teacher to be able to maneuver within that curriculum and bring experiences, real human experiences, to whatever we are teaching. I like that we don't test the children on what they are learning, because we view the learning as the children are still evolving in their learning. So to test them at a certain point are not going to be real true tests of what the children will be able to do. Obviously, we have to assess the children to see if they are able to access the curriculum and test to see if the children need support. And it's not really a test, it's an assessment. And there are certain criteria and rubrics and assessment tools that we can use for that. But what I like is the fact that there is freedom in the teaching. There's freedom to see the child. There is freedom to work with the materials. I also like the fact that the teacher is not stuck or stagnant in their work, that they actually are also inspired to learn, because we have to deliver many, many subjects in the 8-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write any of that down.
That's very interesting. Thank you, Belinda. And then a few more things. You've done all this now, really. Is there anything else that you'd want to talk about, or do you think we've covered most of it, really?
Well, I think we've covered quite a lot.
I
like the fact that the children, you know, the best teaching aligns with the children's natural exuberance and energy and curiosity, and so the curriculum is geared towards that. I think I just said the same thing. The teacher's best when they're using their creativity and inspiration to inspire the children. And so the last one is how well Waldorf students graduates have done out. Is that the one?
Yes, the idea of how would they sort of dovetail with other schools, or, you know, the job market. How prepared are they for the real world?
So there's a couple of surveys out there, and I actually did have a look at the survey. I've got my own personal experiences of keeping in contact with other Waldorf students, graduates. But I agree with the ASNA survey, which gives some bullet points on meeting a Waldorf graduate out in the world. And so what the survey says is that the two, and I'm putting this in my own words now, that the graduates are able to translate their creative ideas into practice. So you will find them doing what they've created. And I can see this already in my class of grade five. There is a lifelong learning that happens with a Waldorf student. They love to learn. And they have a highly developed sense for aesthetics and for creating something that is beautiful to the eye. And the word beauty is obviously determined by who is looking at it, but they have a way of working with aesthetics. They generally have good, long-lasting relationships because of the eight-year journey with the teacher and with their peers. That is something that is they don't have to think about or work at particularly hard. They're always looking for opportunities to be of service because, again, that is part of the social fabric that is built up in the classrooms and in their education and in their schools. Waldorf students, and I've read about even Waldorf students who have fallen off the path, so to speak, whether they've got into drugs or made a mistake and ended up in prison somehow. There's something that happens to them where they're able to pull themselves back. I've never in my 23 years heard of a Waldorf student that's completely lost. And it's not that they haven't done what everybody else does, but they fall really hard, if you like, or they engage in the activity with a lot of intensity and energy, but they are able to pull themselves out of it. And it's because they've been taught to experience the thing for the to its fullest, and then they can pull themselves back out again. Yes, so the moral compass is what I was just talking about, and that's the one that I'm the most proud of, I think, because they are able to navigate themselves through the world, through their challenges in their private and professional lives. And that's what we teach to, because we don't know from one year to the next how the world is going to be. We know that the world will change dramatically in the next 5 years. And these children need to be able to navigate through that world. And we cannot even think or project of what will come. We don't really don't know. It's gone that fast. We used to be able to. So Waldorf children are going to need a certain resilience to be able to meet the challenges that the world has to offer them. And so the way in which we teach in that sort of global, rounded, with a global rounded viewpoint, allows them to be able to see what's coming towards them.
I think that might be, would you want to do that more? So let's round off then with the last question, which is, how would you describe the Waldorf community?
So today's community, I would say it hasn't actually changed. I think times change, the way we behave changes. But I think in terms of a Waldorf community, I really think that we behave in the way in which Rudolf Steiner wanted us to, which was largely based on the French Revolution. So it's largely based on liberty, equality, and fraternity. And what Steiner wanted is there to be freedom in the cultural life, and then there to be equality in the rights life in terms of the law, and that there to be fraternity amongst the community or the parents. And I do think we have that. I think we have that to a certain degree. There's a lot more we can say about the threefold social order, but that's not for right now.
That's great. Belinda, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Was that all right?
You did it. That's fantastic. God. You were talking for 20 minutes.
Really? I thought I'd